This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Look right down any crowded hall. You'll see there's a beauty standing. Is she really everywhere or a reflection? One always calls out to you, the other's shy and quiet. Could there be two different?
Welcome to Pi Beta Alpha, the podcast in which we explore the strange and terrifying world of the Sweet Valley High TV series, episode by episode. I'm Anna Carey.
I'm Karen Moynihan.
And this week, we're marching and protesting for the right to bear midriffs.
Indeed, it's getting political.
So political. This is activism, Sweet Valley style.
Oh my God, it so is.
Well, let us start as usual with a tag, our taglines from Wikipedia and Amazon. So I'm going to start on Amazon or on Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. As usual, I haven't read it, so it's a surprise to all of us. So let's see what happens. Todd and Winston are involved in a case of internet mistaken identity. Ooh. As Winston's online girlfriend mistakes him for Todd and is ecstatic. Bit of an exaggeration, but accurate.
Yeah, she's pretty pleased at how things seem to be working out. But yeah, okay, interesting.
Elizabeth, however, is not. Also accurate.
Yeah.
Jessica, Lila and Renata protest the new dress code. Mm-hmm. Well, accurate.
Mm.
It's written in quite normal English.
Yeah, this is unnerving.
What's happening to them? What do you got on Amazon?
Jessica protests the new school dress code.
Oh, poor old Lila and Renata. And
They don't even get a look in. It's just, that's it. It's like we are hitting the absolute minimum word count we can get away with here.
Also, in both places, poor old Cheryl has been erased.
Oh, yeah, this is Cheryl Erasure. I'm not happy with that.
Not at all. By the way, it is hilarious just looking at the broadcast dates that these are all being, everything we've done so far in this season has came out in the same week. Because every time I see it, I keep thinking, oh, that's the week I turned 22. And I was like, hang on, I thought that last time. And it's because they air on like the 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th of September 1997. Oh my God.
That's gas. They all just, like, they kind of just threw it all out one day after the other then, did they?
Yeah. Yeah. And then it's all for the weekend. So it must have been just weekdays because it goes right from September 19th to September 22nd. So I presume that was a weekend.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Then it continues and it ends. It stopped broadcasting forever on October 14th.
Very strange how they just shot through that whole last season. It's like they filmed it and then like didn't know what to do with it and we're like, let's just get this over with. Very weird.
Very unfair. Well, if any of our insiders want to let us know, was this always the plan to make it a sort of a daily show, kind of Home and Away style? You know, it's not like daily shows more or less aimed at young people were an unusual thing back then. Yeah. But it is surprising when the rest of the show did the classic sort of over the school year kind of broadcast.
Yeah, it was spaced out somewhat that you'd get seasonal episodes in there and stuff.
Hmm. Well, oh yeah, we probably won't get any Christmas ones or anything. Or who knows?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I think if we've learned anything by now, it's that fucking anything could happen.
Very true. Well, we start this episode in the Casa del Wakefield, where Lila is reading the oracle. And when Jessica asks her to read the horoscopes, Renata is amused.
Yeah, she scoffs at this. And they wonder, do they have horoscopes in Brazil? And Renata assures them that yes, they do. But apparently it's very bad luck to read them.
Yes. Ironic, given that she had just said that she was so amused by how superstitious she thinks Americans were.
Yeah.
So Jessica notices the headline on the front page of the Oracle, and it says that the school board is to vote on a mandatory dress code. And when she reads out the conditions, the others are horrified.
They are. And I love how specific these conditions are yes. to this particular trio. It's done very well. Because, yeah, I think it's Lila. Is it Lila's reading it out? Oh, no, Jessica's reading it out.
Yeah. So
she's saying that this this dress code is going to call for a ban on visible displays of designer logos. So, of course, Lila gasps because she's wearing what is meant to be a Chanel dress and belt. And I'm sorry, but that is not what that is.
That is not the Chanel logo.
It's an approximation of a Chanel logo. But it's a very nice dress and she looks great.
She does look amazing for
it. But yes, she's rightly horrified at this personal attack on her wardrobe.
The next bit's even better.
This is so good. So Jessica continues, and apparently they're also coming for the wearing of excessive jewellery, which makes Renata gasp because, as she says it, that's the only kind I have.
That is a good joke. Credit where credit's due.
It's fair, yeah.
And Jessica is not impressed by their whining. She thinks that they can get under these fashion hurdles if they try. But then Jessica notices another rule. The school dress code would ban, quote, clothes that expose the navel.
Yeah, and of course, Jessica, as she's learning all this, she's wearing like the tiniest little top you've ever seen with her like hipster pants. So her entire midriff is on show. So she looks down at her belly button and goes, no.
It's the fact she's so genuinely distressed makes it really yeah. funny. It's delivered very nicely. And
it's great.
I'd say throughout this episode, she is, of course, wearing crop tops. Now, as somebody who back in the 90s, as a young person, probably be arrested now, but as a young person, I did wear a lot of very small, like little baby doll t-shirts. I would literally, me and my friends would go to charity shops and buy children's. The prize was a child's t-shirt from the 70s. I remember I had a Return of the Jedi, original Return of the Jedi t-shirt that I think originally fit like a 7-year-old.
Oh,
but see, even then, they sort of come around your ribs, you know, like they wouldn't be sort of bra size.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. I feel like that was never really an endeavor that was open to me, because when you've got big jugs, that's just not going to happen.
I was like a 32A back in college. I am not now, but so.
Yeah, I might have got one boob into a child's t-shirt. That would be it.
They were quite stretchy. You never know. But yeah, the bra level crop top, I feel, was quite an extreme move even back then. It's all here, sort of come like they're bikini sized, effectively.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if you were like literally going to a rave or something, but, you know, you're looking at nightwear, club wear kind of stuff at that stage. But like Jess is just wearing all these things day to day, just going to school. It's fine
for her. I could go to art history lectures wearing a child's t-shirt for the Moscow Olympics. I feel that anybody can wear whatever they want. Mm-hmm. So we cut to the Oracle, where Todd wants Liz to get off the phone so he can call the sports hotline and get the results. And he's unmoved by the fact that she is on hold for a journalism call.
Oh, God. But
she needs a quote to finish the article she's writing. She's clearly a better journalist than Book Liz, but she is a suggestion for Todd.
Yeah, she asks why doesn't he check the internet for the basketball scores? But Todd scoffs at this. He's like, the internerd? Ugh, that is not for me. But Liz helpfully finds a basketball website with its own chat room. And we get an absolutely fucking glorious Sweet Valley screen, which is just one of my favorite things in this show is when this happens. So we see this website and it is literally called Basketball Website. And like, website is hyphenated. It is fucking 10 out of 10. I love it.
Oh my God. Like, if there's anyone listening here who is somehow too young to remember 90s websites, they had names, like proper names, and they did not look like this.
No, not at all. But I enjoy the Sweet Valley screen so much, and this one really delivered.
I thought of you as soon as I saw it.
Thank you.
One. It's particularly good. It's also like a full screen image, which was...
Well, it's like a landing page, which doesn't really happen anymore either. So that was a fun throwback.
Well, it's got its own chat room. Mm-hmm. Todd scoffs at the thought of this, because what self-respecting athlete or sports person wastes time at a computer? But he's hooked within seconds.
Oh, immediately. He clicks through and he takes like one look at the screen and he's like, oh, these guys really know what they're talking about. And apparently someone wants to know who the top high school recruit in California is. So Todd immediately gets stuck in and starts typing. And he's like, that would be Todd Wilkins. So he is loving this new little avenue of chat for himself.
Well, Liz is finished up and she's like, okay, well, we can go now. And he's like, oh, go ahead. I'm in the middle of something. And he's absolutely not listening to her because she's like, so I'll see you back at the house. And he's like, uh-huh. Keeps typing away. Then she's like, so I've signed you up to buy class. And he's like, yeah, great. So Liz is not impressed and heads off.
No, she sighs and leaves. But yeah, he's bet into this thing.
Well, then we cut to a sort of sepia-toned scene. It does look a bit like a 90s music video.
Oh, and it does, you're right.
It's a very 90s sort of sepia. Mm. And we see Lila, Jessica and Renata march along three abreast down the corridors of Sweet Valley High. But they are not their usual selves.
Not, certainly not their usual colourful selves, because they're all wearing these like floor-length dresses with a high neck and a collar. It's almost a little bit Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
They're just kind of marching down along by the lockers with their heads down and their hands folded in front of them. Very demure, very unlike any of them. And then like some random dude, like random hunk guy.
Yeah. That's what my notes say. Random hunk with random a bouffant.
Absolutely. And again, it's so 90s music video, actually, now that you've said that, that's all I can think. But he says in this weird distorted voice, don't you look average today, Jessica?
And she makes, again, the most hilarious, sad face. Like, she doesn't even wail. She's just sort of like...
Oh, she's so sad. And there's even this kind of horror movie music just scoring the whole thing as well. It's fucking great.
Some dramatic organ music. But of course, it was but a dream. And Jessica immediately wakes up in a glorious Technicolor. And I can only describe as very impractical and I suspect deeply uncomfortable night attire.
Oh my God, deeply dangerous as well. It seems like a strangulation risk because like it looks great on her, of course.
Oh, yeah.
But it's this like silky, of course, like turquoise pajamas. But like even the pajamas top is a crop top. And there's
of course.
These sort of like little strings with white pom-poms kind of off the ends of them. But it just seems like, yeah, it wouldn't be great sleep attire, but it does look very cool.
It does. Yeah, so it seems like if you rolled, like there's no stretch in that skin tight outfit.
No, no, none.
But anyway, of course it is, as it is, a crop top. Just even the fact that that's her pajamas is a Marabou trimmed skin tight satin
Wonderful.
Crop top. Oh. She looks down at her bare physique and gives a sigh of relief.
Yeah.
So we cut to Sweet Valley High and Winston is sitting in front of Todd in class and looks back at him and says, you know, there's this thing in your house called a shower. You might want to use it. But the reason Todd hasn't showered is it's quite surprising.
Yeah, he explains that he was up all night chatting on the internet. And Winston's impressed. He's like, wow, your first internet hangover. So he reassures them that he should feel better by noon.
I mean, they are ahead of their time because I definitely did not have that sort of feeling of, I mean, in my case, by the time I was getting the internet hangovers, it was generally, I guess the odd time someone is being wrong on the internet, but it was more the social media days when you've, you know, stayed up too late, unhealthily scrolling things. So, Winston is definitely ahead of his time. And Todd, surprisingly.
There you go. Stranger things have happened.
So Todd says how brilliant it was. He didn't know who any of those people were or what they looked like. The only thing that mattered is they're like talking hoops. And Winston says that's the best thing about the internet. You know, looks or who you are on the outside doesn't matter. It's just what you have in common. And it's how he met his virtual girlfriend.
Yes, Petunia. So he explains that he met her in the brain teaser chat room. He says, I noticed her anagrams. She liked my palindromes.
Adorable.
It's so cute.
So yeah, he says how great it is. They can talk about anything. And he's totally honest with her. And Todd says, so do you use, you know, what's your username? And he's like, Adonis. And I know it's meant to be a joke, but I don't think we're laughing.
No, this is the thing. And it is played for laughs, but I'm just like, yeah. I'm fine with this.
So Liz arrives and asks Todd where the hell he was last night, because he didn't turn up, even though she rented Sense and Sensibility. And in a very nice, subtle little joke, Todd is like, I didn't have time for a double feature.
Well, good.
Clearly thinking they're two separate films. But yeah, he was on the international, the wee hours.
Oh, God. Yeah, because he didn't call her or anything. So when she asks why, he's like, well, because I was on the internet. So she asks if he wants to come over tonight. So he's like, yeah, sure. Right after the internet symposium with Shaquille O'Neal. So he reckons he should be done by around midnight.
Good Lord. Liz is unimpressed. Well, we cut to Lila, Jessica and Renata again striding down the corridor. And I have to say that both Lila and Renata are resplendent in hats. Especially Renata's one.
Oh,
good
wow.
Lord.
It was unexpected, but yeah, appreciate it.
I have to say it is worryingly like something that appalling, creepy pickup artist Mystery might have worn. Sort of like a giant furry like cow print black and white hat.
Yeah, it's certainly a look. I don't know. I feel like she's pulling it off.
Oh, she is. Yeah, no, she does. She can pull off a lot of unorthodox outfits.
True.
But anyway, Lila is in despair. She says the fashion as we know it is over. And Renata says, well, if we must die, then let today be Carnival. But Jessica has a plan that makes literally no sense.
Absolutely zero. Yeah, she's convinced that when Principal Cooper sees her fall collection of crop tops, that the ban will be dead. So it's like, so your plan is to just show him your crop top and presume that what? He's going to fancy you so much that he won't want to ban him? Because that's creepy, Jessica.
And in fairness to Chrome Dome, he has never given any signs that this would be a way to win him over.
Absolutely not.
Also, the way she says her fall collection implies that she is the designer. But she did work for a designer once, but she is making them herself.
Maybe
that's why
she
they're
is.
So tiny.
I mean, you know, but also that is very much something that probably happened in that episode and, you know, was never mentioned again, that Jessica makes her own clothes. Like, that's never come up again. But maybe this is what we're alluding to. Who knows?
Well, Lila wants to talk to Cheryl because she's got a history of activism.
Yeah, apparently she was part of Supermodels Against Pollution. But Jessica thinks this is bigger than that because it affects the whole school and not just the air we breathe. And she's convinced that her plan is going to work. And her plan isn't even a plan. It's silly.
Yes, makes no sense. So they approach Cheryl, who looks at the three of them and goes, let me guess, a mole exploded on you.
And yay, I'm so glad Cheryl is back.
Same. So Lila earnestly says there's no time for jokes. This is a fashion crisis. And Jessica says she has a plan. And Cheryl says, luckily, so does she.
Yeah, she's been organising the student body, apparently, to protect the freedom of expression that they all enjoy. So she's got pamphlets, petitions, they are ready to protest. And Jessica's like, yeah, that might work too.
Yeah. Well, we cut to, I guess, the computer lab in school where Winston reveals it's a big day for him and Petunia. They're sharing photos of each other. Now, that would have been quite an endeavour back in 1997. And then they're going to meet at the Moon Beach. And Todd, who is wearing a truly appalling T-shirt with a sort of like drawstring neck, I don't even know how to describe, sort of like lace up neckline, kind of Robin Hood style.
It is. It's like a fancy dress costume or a bit of a fancy dress costume for like medieval peasant or something.
Yes.
It's very strange. It's not very Todd, but
no.
It's a strange choice.
Well, he and his shirt, this makes him a fine one to talk, says it's a good thing that, you know, looks don't matter with your virtual loves. And Winston's like, oh, yeah, of course. No, I don't care. You know, I don't care what she looks like. But then does say she better be cute, though. But she is.
Yeah, her photo pops up very quickly, actually, for a 90s internet connection. But she's gorgeous. So Winston is trying to choose a picture. So apparently he has loads of pictures of himself in his wallet, which is quite entertaining. So he's kind of leaping through these little pictures. He's like, no, my hair is too curly in this one. Oh, this one's from Halloween. None of them are quite right. So he eventually turns around and finds one that's been pinned to the wall that's of him and Todd together. But he reckons his hair looks good in this one, and this is what he's going to go with. So he pulls this picture down off the wall and writes underneath it, "I'm the one on the right."
Yeah.
So he kind of puts it through the scanner, but then he has to run to health class in a hurry. So he asks Todd if he'll just make sure that this all goes through properly.
Yes. By the way, the reason he's in a hurry to get to health class is that today they're watching the film. Now, I would hope they'd watch the film before they're like in whatever the hell year they are now, because it's worrying if Sweet Valley Sex Education takes it till they're, you know, 18.
Compared to our sex education, which was none.
Oh, our school, we did get the film. So,
oh, you did? So you said we did. Yeah. No, yeah, we just got absolutely none.
See, even though mine was a convent school, as I've said before, it was kind of liberal. So we actually did get various like sex education things. Nothing practical about contraception or anything useful to us.
No.
But I can't imagine the Sweet Valley's health class is particularly useful either.
Oh God. Well, it still seems better than the nothing that we got in school, to be fair.
Well, Todd doesn't care for such things. He's staying in the lab to chat online about b-ball. And unfortunately, he's so busy arguing with Charles Barkley, who has also been mentioned before in this show, that he's accidentally insulting Mr. Barkley, and he doesn't notice that the whole picture has failed to go through the scanner.
Oh no, yeah, it's like lost connection or something. So only half the picture has actually gone through.
Well, we cut to the school corridor where Enid and Manny are being utterly sickening together. They're like going, I whoop you more. But when Manny goes off, Enid gushes to Liz that she finally understands what Liz and Todd have. Now she and Manny are deeply in love, but Liz reveals all is not well.
Yeah, so she reveals that Todd was supposed to come over the previous night, but he spent all night on the internet. Ina's horrified by this. She's like, not the internet. Relationships are ruined by love affairs on the internet. Apparently one minute you're arm in arm and the next thing he's making out with his modem.
And apparently she knows this because she's read articles about it all the time. That and articles about 35-year-olds who still live with their parents. And Liz is like, oh my God, do you think that's going to happen to me and Todd? And Enid's like, no, of course not. You'll be well out of your parents' house by then.
It's very good.
It was good. So we cut to a protest where you hear an extra signed Cheryl's petition saying, yeah, I'm all for bare midriffs. And Jessica, wearing a very nice sort of A-line patterned shift dress, asks Liz, who is also wearing an A-line stripy shift dress, very of its time, asks her to sign the petition. And Enid, however, doesn't mind the potential dress code because she's excited about the possibility of uniforms.
Yeah, Manny's there as well. And she's like, if we get uniforms, we can be matching every day.
Oh, God.
But when Jessica asks Liz to sign her petition, Liz kind of looks at her and she's like, are you petitioning for a 3-day school week again? Yeah. But she clarifies that, no, this time it's about the dress code.
Well, Lila, who looks like she's wearing the Brazilian hat today.
Ooh.
It was a pink sort of floppy hat. So it did have a flower on it. So maybe they added some accessories.
Oh, but maybe they changed it up and I didn't notice. Interesting. Mm. They're trying to get one past me, trying to sneak the Brazil hat past me.
Well, she's chanting, don't become a school board pawn, fight to keep our logos on.
Yeah, Jessica then is horrified. She grabs the megaphone and starts yelling at a girl in this like long black dress, saying that you don't have to do this, you have a choice. But the girl's just kind of looking at her like, what is your problem? So Cheryl runs over and says it's okay, she's in costume, because apparently the drama department are doing a modern version of Little House on the Prairie, the musical.
Yes, and Jessica says that this girl doesn't look modern until Cheryl points out that they're doing it on rollerblades. And the camera pans down to show that, yes, the girl is decked out in blades and she blades off.
Laura Ingalls Wilder rollerblading away.
Also, surely if it was Little House on the Prairie, they'd be wearing floral dresses.
That's true,
or checks, or gingham or something.
Yeah, it didn't seem quite right. The length of it was fine, but yeah, the actual fabric was not quite Little House on the Prairie.
Maybe when somebody died, there wasn't mourning.
Maybe they were just rollerblading to a funeral.
Yeah. Well, Jessica can't understand why everyone seems to have signed Cheryl's petition and she only has two signatures and both of them are her. And then this sort of average looking guy comes up and offers to, like, I'll sign your petition. And she's like, ooh, do you think anyone could sign this?
Oh God, yeah. She literally says, get away from me. Yeah. Poor guy.
So Cheryl gives Jessica a very impressive withering look as Jessica says, oh, this is all too exhausting. I can't do it anymore. And Cheryl's like, you can't give up. Don't you believe in our inalienable rights to, you know, freedom of expression? And Jessica goes, I hate to tell you this, Cheryl, but there's no such thing as aliens.
This is such a great exchange between Cheryl and Jessica. Because Cheryl, again, is just like, trying not to lose her patience. And she's like, don't you have any convictions? And Jessica's like, no, just parking tickets.
And then she says, look, but okay, fine. Don't you want to wear crop tops and hip huggers? And Jessica cries, yes, yes, 1,000 times, yes. But just as she's about to rally the troops, Chrome Dome grabs the bullhorn.
He does. He says that she didn't get her 3-day school week and she's not going to block this dress code.
And then Cheryl quotes Voltaire, the famous line about, you know, I may not agree with what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. Mm-hmm. And Chrome Dome says, you know, whatever, the school board's going to pass the dress code and there's nothing they can do to stop it. And Jessica says, look, I don't know what Cheryl's friend Voltaire was talking about, but what I do know is that today us kids are going to take the fight to City Hall.
Oh, and the whole place breaks out into applause. Everyone's really revved up now. And then afterwards, when it dies down, Jessica asks Cheryl, where's City Hall?
She's so politically engaged.
Great.
When we cut to the Moon Beach, where Winston is nervously waiting for Petuna, he tells himself that he's Adonis, the god of cyber studs, and he's about to meet his cyber goddess. But then...
Oh, he kind of rushes in from the pool room into the main bit of the diner, but manages to crash into a waitress who's carrying a tray and just gets absolutely covered in ketchup and mustard.
Well, Edith and Manny are disgustingly baby talking at each other, like, oh, my wee pumpkin wimpkin. Sorry, go on.
No, I was just laughing because Liz, it felt very Jessica of her, the way she's sitting across from this. And she just goes, please stop. And just gets up and walks away.
So they're sharing what looks like a cross between a giant burger and a giant hot dog. And they're sort of eating at both ends, lately in the tramp style. So Liz understandably can't take this. But when she goes up to the counter, she finds Petunia.
Yes, so this girl that she doesn't know turns to her and asks if she goes to Sweet Valley High because she's supposed to meet a guy that goes there and she's trying to find him. So Liz is like, oh, well, what's his name? But Petunia explains that she doesn't know his name. They've only talked on the internet, but here's his picture.
Yes, and of course, it's only one half of the photo that Winston wanted to scan, the Todd half.
No.
So when Liz sees this, she not only runs away crying, she runs away crying in slow motion to the sad guitar.
It's extra dramatic. And it does look particularly bad because it's a picture of Todd. And of course, Winston's little caption got cut off. So all it says is a picture of Todd and then I'm the one. Which does feel extra incriminating.
So Winston comes out in a fresh shirt. It's actually one of his Moon Beach work shirts. And spots Petunia, obviously delighted to see that she is as cute as her photo. And he's like, here I am. And she's like, oh good, I've been waiting for you. But of course she thinks that he's the staff, which he also is. but she wants to order and he gestures to the photo and is like, oh, no, that's me. And you can just see somebody's shoulder and some dark hair in the photo. And she's like, oh, okay, that's you next to Adonis. And she starts saying that, you know, saying how great Adonis looks and how he's everything she dreamed he'd be.
Yeah, that when she saw the picture, she was like, can I get a side order of pecs with those brains?
That sounds vaguely disgusting.
Doesn't it? I don't like that. But anyway, Winston's trying to insist that actually it's him. He also hasn't gotten a proper look at the photo at this stage, so he's just presuming she has all the information.
Yeah.
But she's also not really listening to him because she's just kind of rambling on about how handsome Adonis is. She's like, he's perfect. He's beauty and brains. Tell me all about him. So when he finally does see the actual picture, the full thing, he sees what happened and he's just like, oh no, he's so downhearted. And he's like, oh, what can I say? He's the one.
So we cut to the Casatel Wakefield at a protest meeting and sign making session. Mm-hmm. Who among us has not taken part in one of those? memories. But it's taking place and Jessica is reading out, I guess, some part of the constitutional law about the people having the right to petition the government, and then to Lila, and then she closes the booklet and says, whatever. But then someone calls to the door.
Yeah, so it's the guy from earlier who tried to sign her petition, and he's wearing a little cut-off football shirt. He says,
I'm very Ken Matthews.
It's very Ken Matthews, but he does say, I'm here to defend my right to a bare midriff. And I do like this guy. He's like, he's giving it loads. He's trying to get involved, but Jessica just slams the door in his face.
Also, you sort of get the impression like this isn't some like scheme to impress Jessica. He really does want to wear crop tops.
He's just trying to get involved and join the protest, and she won't let him.
His heart is in it. He cares about this cause.
That's true.
So Jessica slams the door in his face, but then Liz arrives in the back door and she's in a rage. She reveals Todd is cheating on her with an internet bimbo.
Wow.
That's a phrase you haven't heard in a while.
I know, but when Jessica hears this, she's just like, does everything have to be about you? Which is very funny coming from Jessica, considering that's her entire MO all the time.
Indeed. So Renata says that, you know, she has to show Todd the passion that rages within you. And Liz is like, well, that doesn't work. And Renata's like, well, then you slap him, because she is a stereotype of the fiery Brazilian. And it's quite unfortunate, but also she is very funny.
This is the thing. She delivers that line so well when she says, then you slap him, that I did laugh. Yeah.
Well, Jessica then hears some sort of, well, there's also like martial music, like, you know, pipes and drums. But she hears somebody doing the classic sort of marching song. She opens the door to find a crop top guy marching back and forth going, don't walk around all blind and scared. Fighting keeps our midriff disappear.
Oh God. He does a little salute and everything. It's great. He's giving it loads.
So Jessica drags him in before anyone can see him outside her house.
That's it. He just caused enough of a stir that it would just embarrass her to leave him outside.
Well, back at the Moon Beach, Winston is miserable. And then Todd arrives and asks him for first aid because he's had his first internet injury. Now it is not a wanking injury, which I think might be predicted. At least I hope to fuck it's not.
That does seem the more likely thing. But no, he says that he's apparently got hacker's hangnail.
Yeah. But then Petunia rushes up and to who she thinks is Adonis and says she thought he'd never make it, and Todd is understandably confused. And he's like, you know, we know each other from the internet. Like, I'm Petunia. And he thinks she's one of the sports room commentators. And she thinks he's joking and asks if he solved the latest dumper she sent him.
Yeah, so she had emailed him earlier that day. A whole thing. Oh, I did write it down. Oh yeah. If my heart beats 60 beats per minute when I log on with you at 5 o'clock and increases to 80 times per minute when we log off at 9, what is my heartbeat's average rate of change?
Oh,
I guess it's cute. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, Matt stresses me out. So I was just like, oh God, I hate this.
But I guess it's sort of declaring her love for him in an appropriate way to their relationship.
There you go. It makes sense for their relationship online. So yeah, that's cute.
So before he can answer, and let's face it, he was not going to be able to answer. Liz storms up and asks how she could cheat at her like this right here in the Moon Beach in front of all their friends, no less. She certainly has the passion raging within, and then she slaps him.
She does, because she does announce, I've got a lot of passion in me, you know. And Todd's like, you do? So then she slaps him. And I know, obviously it's not good to slap people, but it is funny.
It was funny. Delivered very well from everybody. And Petunia is like, what the fuck? You've got a girlfriend. Oh, I knew you were too good to be true. You're just another internet predator. And Todd is baffled, understandably.
He is. He's protesting. He's like, what? No, I'm not. What's an internet predator? He's very confused by what's going on here.
And then, amidst all this confusion, incredibly charmingly, Winston just strolls up and says, 5 beats per hour. And the others are like, what are you talking about? And he looks straight at Petunia and says, 5 beats per hour is your average, you know, increase in heartbeat when you're with me. Oh. And Petunia realizes he's Adonis.
Oh my God, this was so lovely. I'm just so happy that Winston finally has a fucking love interest.
And he did that so smoothly, so charmingly. So bravo. Good.
Oh, put that man in a rom-com, please.
Yes. Well, Petunia realizes that he is Adonis.
Mm-hmm.
So we cut to City Hall and Jessica, Renata and Lila arrive and they rush straight in. The military music is playing again. But of course, Renata sets off the metal detector, which it requires you to remove your watch and jewellery. And as she begins to take off her many jewels, she cries to them, "Do not cry for me. You must fight for our cause."
Right, because she really has to like set about this whole task and like dump everything into the little tray one by one. And she has so much stuff on her. They're just like, we need to hurry. What are you doing? But she does just send them off ahead because she's a woman down and it's not going to happen for her.
Well, back at the Moon Beach, Winston tells Petunia that once he saw how excited she was by the photo of Todd, he was too embarrassed to push, you know, and tell her the truth. And she says, why? As well she might.
Yeah, she points out that she really liked the person she met online. So like that was all she really cared about. But then Winston asks, did he get her brain teaser right at least? And she says no. And he looks really disappointed for a second. But then again, extremely cutely, she's like, the answer is 4, because when I'm with you, my heart skips a beat. And my notes are here just like, oh my God, this is so cute.
So cute.
It's lovely.
So she wants to get to know each other better. And Winston is delighted.
Oh.
So we cut over to Enid, who's wondering how fast her and Manny's hearts beat when they're together. It's sickening. And then we cut back to Liz and Todd. Todd is worryingly confused by the mix-up. Like, it's not that complicated a story, Todd.
No, but I do wonder, maybe, I don't know, did Winston and Petunia just kind of peel off together without really explaining to them what happened? I don't know. Look, we're also just giving Todd the benefit of the doubt, which may or may not be too much kindness on our part. But yeah, he's like, you slapped me for no reason. So Liz does apologize. But then he says, I guess I deserved it for spending 22 of the last 24 hours on the internet instead of spending any time with you. And Liz, of course, is horrified by this. She's like, do you know how much that's going to cost you? And then Todd, because he didn't realize this, is like, you mean it isn't free? Oh God.
I feel queasy thinking of that.
I just know. Internet bills and all. Jesus.
So actually, American pals, so the only time I was on the internet at home in America was when my parents lived there from like 99 to 2002, and they obviously had a dial-up modem, and usually your dialing up to the internet was the same as a local call, and on local calls were free in DC and suburban Maryland anyway, so maybe Todd would have been free the whole time, but maybe let us know, because here it was not free. And oh my God.
Most definitely not.
If you stayed on too long, that phone bill would be alarming.
Yeah. Got a little
flashback there.
Yeah. You okay?
Oh, free broadband days.
Yeah, oh God.
Well, we cut back to City Hall, where Jessica makes her case to the board, who seem to be listening closely, as she says that Americans have the right to wear brown lipstick with blue eyeliner. They have the right to mix plaids and curls. And the Bill of Rights says that they have the right to bear arms. So, of course, they have the right to bear their legs. But that is not all.
Oh, no. With a flourish, she finishes. She's like, and most importantly... And then like this lovely dress, or at least what we thought was a dress, she kind of whips off the middle section of it to reveal a tiny little crop top and a skirt. And she says, the right to bare midriffs. And then Lila starts clapping delightedly. And it's so funny. It's great.
It's particularly good because she has been wearing this dress for most of the episode. And yeah. I did not suspect that it was capable of this.
This was actually some very good costume design, in fairness to the wardrobe department. Because it fully did look like a dress, like a very cute dress with kind of a cutout section on the back.
Yeah.
But yeah, it turns out we were tricked and it's actually 3 separate pieces
yeah.
all together.
In a Velcro.
It's great. Yeah. So she finishes with a flourish and Lila's delighted. And the woman who seems to be the head of this board says, "That was a wonderful speech, but this is the water review board." And we then pan across to see an absolutely enormous sign that says, "Sweet Valley Water and Power." So she points out the school board is down the hall.
So we cut to Cheryl giving a very stirring speech. Amazingly, crop top boy is sitting in the background, like really serious, seriously taking it all in. And I love that this is clearly like an important issue for him. It's not just he wants to like get in with the cool kids.
No, he's not being pervy because he wants to like stare at girls. He's there in his crop top. He is fully invested in this.
So Cheryl gives her big speech and how it's a fundamental, they have the fundamental right to self-expression and freedom, and Crop Top Boy cries, "You go, girl!" And she quotes Abraham Lincoln about, you know, denying freedom to others, and if you do so, you don't deserve it for yourselves. And she finishes her speech by saying, you know, "We don't tell you how to dress, so, you know, we want you to extend us the same courtesy." And everyone stands up and applauds, especially Crop Top Boy.
Yeah, he's delighted. Everything's gone really well. But yeah, it is just funny that like, it's probably a good thing that Jessica got her speech out of the way to the wrong board, because I feel like she would have been more of a hindrance than anything else, because Cheryl had this under control. Like, she had it covered.
So Cheryl looks pleased, as well she might. So we cut to the campaign leaders going down the steps of City Hall or the interior stairs, victorious. And Jessica's like, "We did it." And Cheryl looks at her and is like, "We?" And Jessica says she learned something today. And Cheryl is like, "Oh, so is it that, you know, with organization and determination, like young people can affect change?" But no, that's not what Jessica's learned.
Well, of course not. Jessica says that no, she learned that how you should always read a building's directory before rushing into rooms. And then Crop Top Guy emerges and he kind of pops up and he's like, "We did it." And then Jessica looks at him and goes, "We?"
I'd say he, as is demonstrating his crop toppery, had a share in this victory.
I think so too, yeah.
So they rush out past the entrance where Renata has just finished removing all her jewels.
This is so good. I have to say, I'm enjoying Renata so much. Like, once you get past the accent, she's very entertaining.
Well, back at the Moon Beach, Todd asks for more info about Liz's raging passions, and she says she'd rather show him. And they kiss.
They do.
So Petunia, if we cut to her, she's asking Winston if Adonis is his real name, and he admits that it's Winston after his grandfather, who wasn't God or Greek. But Petunia is Petunia's real name, apparently, and I hope she sticks around.
Me too. I really hope this isn't that kind of thing where like she's just gone now after this episode and that's it, and she's never mentioned again, because I really like her and I love that Winston gets to have a girlfriend.
Same.
But yeah, so they're being all cute together. He says it's the most beautiful name he's ever heard. And then we kind of pan across to Enid and Manny, who are watching all of this, and they're just, Enid is like, "Is it just me or is it getting kind of mushy in here?" Which is rich coming from her. Manny's like, "Yeah, some people have no self-control. This is making me sick. Let's get out of here." So they get up to walk out, but it then reveals that they're T-shirts say his and hers on the back.
Oh, classy as ever.
Yeah. But also Enid is wearing a wonderful like cartoony backpack all the way through this episode too. It's like, is it like a sunflower with little legs or is it the sun? I'm not sure.
I couldn't tell whether it was the sun or a sunflower, but it's like a cuddly toy sort of backpack.
Yeah, it's great.
Which I do appreciate.
Me too.
And then we hear an extra cry, "Look who's on TV!" Though I don't know why he says that, because at the moment it's just a news reporter outside City Hall. But then, who should emerge?
Oh, well, then, yes, the reporter is saying that Sweet Valley High students have convinced the school board to abandon the mandatory dress codes. And then, yeah, Jessica and Lila emerge down from the steps with a crowd following. And it's so funny because the reporter clearly knows her and he's like, "Jessica Wakefield, you have struck a blow for students everywhere. What are you going to do now?" And Jessica looks into the camera and she's like, "I'm going to the mall. Come on, girl."
And everyone follows her. Most of them are wearing sort of like DIY crop tops, like they've just tied a knot in their shirts. Yeah. But they rush past Renata, who is still at this stage, she's now putting all her jewels back on.
She's just kind of lagging behind, trying to like put on all her rings, get her earrings. She has a lot to do. But yeah, so she's still working on all that. And then it cuts back to the Moon Beach again and everyone applauds.
And that's the end. Yeah. That episode was a lot of fun.
It was
So good, but there was so much in it. Like Winston actually getting a romantic storyline. Love that. The weird little dream sequence where Jessica is like a prisoner in a robe. Incredible. Like crop top guy. A joy.
Oh, Cheryl being eye-rolly.
Oh, brilliant. Like, so good when she's trying to get Jessica to take this thing seriously and Jessica's talking about aliens. Like, it's just great.
Oh, well, it was an absolute delight. Really, Phi Beta Alpha siblings, did you enjoy it as much as we did? You know where to find us. We are on social media at SVH Podcast.
Yeah, you can send us an email at svhpodcast@gmail.com.
And we're mostly active on Instagram, but as we are recording this 2 weeks in advance, I hate to break it to you folks, but it's because Karen is going to California.
It's true.
We are recording it just literally the morning that this episode comes out. So let us see. Has anyone commented?
Oh, we have a comment. Someone came in under the line.
Yay!
Princess Fiona comment. Is an ogre. Congratulations to you, because you're going to be the one comment we reach out for this episode. Because, yeah, so this episode is being recorded literally the morning our last PBA came out. So Princess Fiona is an ogre says, tag yourself. I'm Lucy Rollins, the black sheep of the Rollins family. I'm a successful accountant with a loving husband, a white picket fence and 2.4 children. All of the Rollinses are ashamed and refuse to talk about me.
Keep on tagging yourself. We will have more to say about the last few episodes in our next trip to the clubhouse.
Indeed. Yes, it was just the way the timing worked out on this one that we can't get stuck into all your great comments. But
yes.
But yeah, they'll all be there for us, I'm sure, by the time this episode actually comes out. And I'm sure you all did a great job as usual. So
yes. And just note that we have made sure that you are precious supporters and sorority siblings. Do not miss out on your benefits this month. Of course, I'm getting confused now because of the dates, because we're doing this so far in advance.
Yes.
But you all will get the second part of V for Victory next week. So don't worry.
Yes, we'll be back on track. Back to normal.
Whenever that is. April? I guess it will be April.
I think so. Yeah, it'll be April. Yeah, so we'll have second part of V for Victory and we're back to regular scheduling of everything after that.
Yes. And of course, after that, we'll be heading to Death Valley. So there'll be a lot to look forward to.
Oh my God, that's going to be so exciting.
We know that the cheerleading trilogy has been, you know, it's a fan favourite in terms of the books.
True.
So, you know, I hope people don't think it's going to be all downhill from the air. Because we have thought this before. We thought, like, what could top Margot? I mean, nothing could top Margot. Okay, but like, everything would be a disappointment after Margot. But then we had the like Club Paradise craziness. Then we had the werewolves.
Oh my God, we had Jessica flinging a wedding dress under a lorry, which still remains a top moment for me.
Like, and you know, we got through the Jeremy period, which did last a worryingly long time.
It went on for so long, but we got through it together. And we couldn't have done it without you.
So, onward and upward, Pi Beta Alpha siblings. You are the wind beneath our wings, and we appreciate every single one of you supporting the show, both by your hilarious comments and in very real financial sense.
Mm, yes, thank you very much. We really do appreciate it.
And also, thanks to all of you who have bought merch.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, this has gone really well. You all are loving the merch. So thank you for that. We're delighted that you can get some merch now, because it was actually great fun to kind of put it together and figure out what to put up there. But and if you haven't had a look yet, it's doublelovepod.redbubble.com. You can have a little snoop around there and do some mixing and matching in terms of different kind of tops and fits and colours, combinations, all that kind of thing. But do have a look. And if anything takes your fancy, go grab it.
Yeah, and imagine the joy you would feel if you were walking down the street wearing your Jessica and Elizabeth and Margot and Nora t-shirt, or you're in a bar or a club, or you're in like at the cinema or anywhere, or in work. Imagine if it was work and you realize there was a kindred spirit there all the time.
Imagine you see a Dairy Burger logo from across the room and you're like, my name is friend.
I mean, I know I would be. Personally, if these t-shirts and garments were not actually connected with us, I would be overjoyed if I saw somebody wearing one of these items. So think of it as a way to find your fellow kid, your fellow Sweet Valley High. Yeah. I don't know if aficionado isn't the right word, because it is.
Well, yeah.
You have affection.
It's
It's like a bat signal for fellow fans.
That's more like it.
Yeah.
Consider it the equivalent of a sandwich yeeted out a window for attention.
There we go. That's the one.
So we will see you all in the main feed next week for the second part of V for Victory. You will not want to miss this. It is better than the first. The first will be fun.
Honestly, the first part was so fun, but like all the good stuff is in the second part. So I can't wait to get stuck into that.
Well, we will see you back here in the clubhouse in 2 weeks. I'm excited already because we find out what happens when, according to the first words of the Wikipedia blurb, Jessica stars in Winston's student film.
Oh.
And Winston cries, "Lights, camera, fractions."
Okay.
See you then, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.